Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
So over here and you're watching Don Reese Miracle Stories, so you better keep watching because I'm going to be on it pretty darn soon. If you don't, I'm going to go Hercules on you. Okay.
What's up, it's Joey Fatone, and you're listening to Don Reese with Miracle Stories. I know I have a bunch of miracle stories to tell everyone, so hopefully we'll get a chance to do that. But you're listening to it right now.
Yay! Hi, I'm Don Reese with Miracle Stories TV Network. I will bring you inspirational stories that will warm your heart and give you more faith in walking with God. Do you have a miracle story? Call 727-871-7788. You could be next to give your miracle story testimony. And if you want miracles to happen in your life, join us at beaminghope.org in Largo, an amazing church with real miracle stories. And we have Sunday service, Wednesday Bible study, women's fellowship, men's fellowship, and kids flip night. Get right with God and come to beaminghope.org. I'll see you here with miracle stories. Hi, I'm Dawn Reese. Welcome to 8 o'clock show with Miracle Stories. We're so excited that you joined us on 3 FM and 3 AM. I'm so excited because I'm on TikTok and I met this amazing man named BigBucks357. He's on my live feed right now and he's also live on the air. Big Bucks, are you there?
Yeah.
Hi. If you're on speaker, it's really hard to hear, but if you can come on the phone, that would be great. And what is your real name?
My real name is Feinfeld.
Nice to have you on the air with me. Now, explain to me who your guest is. Is he on the air? Is he with you?
Yes, he is with me. He'll be speaking to him momentarily. I call him Brother Frank. I placed him in my life back in 2016. And I told you before I was on the first time about my life to stop me from going where I was going. That was Brother.
Okay.
To watch where he's through, where he's at now, is an amazing.
So the show is about from a street kid to a pastor, which is really an amazing story. I have so many questions to ask him afterwards. And so is he there?
Yes, he is.
Can you hear Matt?
Is it yes, cutting? I can.
Okay, we're good. So tell us a little bit about his story. You can introduce the story.
You speaking to me?
Yes. Hi, I'm Dawn.
Dawn. Everybody calls me Brother Frank. But my story is, the story of Christ in my life is I was, in the streets. And, running crazy in and out of jail, detention centers, homeless at a point in my life at an early age. And now to be a pastor by the grace of God is just a miracle that God has done in my life. And if he has done it in my life, he could do it with those that really want to change.
That's an amazing story because there are so many people out there that there are so many homeless and there are so many people that are just trying to make it and they don't believe that God is going to help them get out of this. And so how old were you when you were on the streets?
I was about 11 years old.
And what happened? How did you get to be on the streets?
Well, what happened was that my father raised me to the age about 10, 11. I came to meet my mother. At about that age, I started living with her, and they weren't together. And because of, them being separated at that time, my mom's, was drinking a little bit. And because I looked like my dad, she would take it out on me. So it wasn't that I was thrown out. I just decided to leave and run away. And I ended up in the streets, living in the streets, being in and out detention centers, and going from there, growing up, into my teenage. I started becoming like a thug in the street and in the drug game, in the gang game, and it was just hard, just not believing in somebody to love me just because of what I went through in my life.
Wow. So how did you survive on the streets? I mean, what did you do? I mean, to eat and did you work or at 11? That's such a young age.
Yeah, well, at that early age, of course, I ended up in detention centers. But, I remember some nights that I would be outside, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I would end up going into the store called ShopRite. It's like a Walmart. And I would just go in there and pretend that I was with one of my parents, calling them out through the aisles And what I would do is I would open bag of potato chips and eat that, and then go in the aisle where the sodas were at, and I would open up the canned sodas and start drinking that, and that's how I would survive on far as eating.
Oh, my gosh. So when you're in the streets, did people talk to you about your life, or what made the change over where God really stepped in your life?
Okay, well, in my change is like jumping forward. I end up selling drugs, being in gangs, being in the streets. And, God had put this young youth in my life that was a backslider. And he will always, for some reason, out of nowhere, would speak about Christ. And I remember one time doing demolition work with him, and he was telling me, he asked me why I didn't read the Bible, and I told him because I didn't know how to read Spanish. So as we was doing demolition work, I knocked down this wall, and a little book fell out, and it was the Bible in English.
Hmm.
And that was something that caught my attention, and he was telling me, he said, Cisco, God is calling you. But of course, I didn't believe. And I ended up, getting shot, okay? I got shot in my knee because I was, like I said, I was a drug dealer, and they sent people to kill me, and the guy got to shoot me one time, and when he went to go shoot me again, you could hear the gun click, but the bullet wouldn't come out, but when he pointed the gun away, the bullet came out without him pulling the trigger, and that happened 7 times.
And how old are you at this point?
At this point, I was already in my 20s.
Wow. And you were still living on the streets?
No. I was at that time already, I had a place to stay at, but of course I was living a life that I was lost. Drugs, clubbing, drinking, and just living a life like crazy without having no hope in my life and not believing that somebody could love me because I didn't know what it was to love because a person that doesn't get taught how to love, how do you expect that person to love somebody?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that was one of the things that happened to me.
Wow, that's powerful. So you found a Bible, and did you start reading it right away, or?
No. What caused me, so if you want me to jump to where I had the experience with the Lord was, if that's what you want me to do, mm-hmm. I could do that. So what happened to me where I had my real, because I had a real rough childhood. If I was to sit here and talk about my testimony, it would take more than a half hour. And I know that we are on some time here.
Right.
So, it's a lifestyle, that I had. And through all that, the Lord had mercy on me. And so where I came to have an experience with the Lord was when I was facing 15 years to life. So I was facing 15 years to life. And I remember being in the county and heard a voice. And that voice spoke to me. And it told me to go to Matthew 7:7 and read it. So, of course, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know what it meant. And my wife that was raised in the gospel, I had called her and told her, look, you need to get me out of here because I'm hearing voices. So when I told her that, I had the money to get bailed out. But for some reason, I couldn't get bailed out. Every time I went to the bells, man, something came up. And I came to understand that God was trying to get my undivided attention in that county, and so when I read what it said, it said seek and you shall find, asking it will be given, knocking it will be opened, because the Lord has told me to go read Matthew 7:7. So when I told her that, of course she was raised in the gospel, her knowing the scripture, she told me, she goes, no, it's not that you're going crazy, it's that the Spirit of God is teaching you the word.
Wow.
So that was my experience. I actually heard the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, I heard it audibly. It wasn't that a pastor, a preacher, evangelist, a missionary person came to the county and spoke to me. It was the Spirit of God, and that's when I ended up surrendering to God and saying, Lord, I'm not running from you, because being in the detention center when I was young, about maybe 13 years old, I remember a brother named Black Joe from the Black Panthers that was saved as well. He was giving his testimony when he got shot by a machine gun. This was years ago because I was 13. I'm 56 now. And he was preaching at the detention center one time, and he just stopped preaching and said, young man, the Lord has a calling over your life. And, of course, I didn't understand, but I understood when I was in that county because it just all came to me and I just surrendered to God, and the Lord was glorifying himself. I was in the county preaching to, you know, Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, and of course, I can't make nobody cry, but a man that's in the presence of God, the Lord can make that person cry and feel his presence. And when my wife came to visit me in the county, she didn't know what was happening, and the wives of the men that I was preaching to, they was accepting Christ. And when she came up there, they told them, oh, you're the pastor's wife. And my wife was like, my husband's not a pastor. He's locked up in here. Hmm. But she didn't know what God was doing. So that was my experience when I heard the voice of God. And, you know, it was something that marked me. It was something that would never be removed out of my heart. It's something that Satan or the demons or no one could tell me that Christ doesn't exist, because I also came from a life of witchcraft as well.
Wow, that's powerful. Explain that, because a lot of people don't realize what is witchcraft. Because, as an example, some people say the tarot cards or the angel cards are okay, or they, you know, I can do this or I can do that. Explain what kind of witchcraft that you were into, and also kind of my comment on that.
Well, the witchcraft that I was into was calling upon demons.
Wow.
Calling upon demons and serving Satan. Because that's what it is when you do witchcraft. Rather, if you're reading cards, there is no such thing as good witchcraft. There is no such thing as that.
Right.
People believe that evil is evil. And if you're believing in something other than Jesus Christ, is something that is demonic, and is something that is not pleasing to God. So I would call upon the demons. I will use statues. I will use beads with colors that symbolizes, health or money or death, or, you know, putting spells on other people, putting spells on people, you know, to fall. And, so calling upon evil spirits, which they do exist, because they also speak, they also exist as well. And when people are doing witchcraft, they're serving Satan, really. They're not serving the Lord. They're not serving themselves. They're actually serving Satan. So.
That, you know, that's really powerful, because that is need to know. And I do have to add a story to something real quick when you're talking about that. And this is when I was a young kid, for my birthday. I was 13. We were just Catholics. And I have to add this into your story. And somebody gave me a Ouija board. And we're like, oh, what is this? And we tried this Ouija board. And just long story short, my mother was playing it. We were not Christians at that time. We were just Catholics. And we were just coming to be a Christian, but we didn't know what we were into. And we said, where do you get your power from? From you. Ha ha. My mom said, who is your master? It said, afraid, cannot tell, will not tell. When, after a half hour of doing this, and when it spelled out afraid, it said, my master is king. And my mother said, master king of what? When it spelled my master is king of hell, we both shook. We just took that board. We smashed it. We ended up going to a non-denominational church. And I'll tell you, weird things would happen. You know, I mean, if you wonder why you're not getting blessed, is because if you're into that stuff, you know, and God will not bless you when you're going that route. And I just want to say that to people, because when you're talking about what you were into, and we tried that when I was a kid, we thought, hey, this is going to be fun. No, it is not fun. It's very dangerous to get into at all. And, you know, and let me ask you this. Was your wife, what was her faith at that time as well, when she found out what you were?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, what was her faith? Was she a born-again Christian? Where was she at when she found out what you were up to?
she was raised in the gospel. She was raised in the gospel, but at that point when we first started, I know my wife when she was younger, at an early age, but I never approached her. I just always said that she was going to be a beautiful young lady when she grew up, and I ended up coming to meet my wife 5 years later. And the coincidence of that is very hard, very rare. But when God puts you, a man and a woman together, and it's for his calling, you know, you're going to end up running into your mate, because we always have to ask the Lord for our wife or for our husband, you know, the opposite. So,
and I'll tell you, a praying wife and a praying mother will get through anything.
Oh, yeah. So we end up running into each other again. And at that time, she was, I believe, 21, or going on 21, and I asked one of my friends, I had moved back to Jersey where I was living at, And I said, are there any pretty girls around here? He said, yeah, I got a friend of mine. So here she comes around the corner. Now, mind you, I didn't recognize her because it was 5 years later.
Right.
But one thing about my wife is that she has this unique voice because she's a worshiper. She's a worshiper. She has recorded CDs for the Lord of worship songs that God has given her. And when she started talking, I said, you're that little girl that used to walk around with the long little red dress and the Bible and your anointing oil going around people praying for them. And when that happened that I told her, that caused her to go back to serve God.
Wow.
Because at that time, she had backslid. So God put me in her life so that she could come back to him, but also put her in my life so that she could bring me to him, because it was through her that I seen the love of Christ, because she used to tell me, you're not the man who you think you are. And I didn't understand what she was trying to tell me, but it's that she saw something in me, and like the Lord saw something in me because he was looking at me through the eyes of Christ.
Wow, that's beautiful.
She was the one who taught me what the love of Christ was. And it's because of her, first because of the Lord, but because of her praying, because I put it through a lot. I'm not going to sit here and lie, but she held a lot. But she was a woman that prayed, and I would come home late night from the club, and I will catch her like in the living room or in the room on her knees that she had fallen asleep, not knowing that she was praying for me.
Wow. You know, and I'll tell you, when I fall asleep at night and there's some family members or somebody that God wakes me up and I'm praying, and I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference. You know, my mom always said, if you can't sleep at night and God wakes you up, pray for somebody or ask God who you're praying for. And I'll tell you, that anointing comes over you, and that's pretty powerful. Right.
Yeah. So,
So now also too, is your, what city do you live in?
I live in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
Lancaster.
In Pennsylvania. And now you have a church you're working on. Tell us, you're a pastor now?
Yes. I have been pastoring since April of this year. I was an evangelist before that. I went around preaching, giving my testimony of what Christ, well, it's really Christ's testimony in my life. But going around preaching, you know, to the youth, the gang members out in the street, because I believe that a man or a woman that is full of the Spirit of God and anointing of God doesn't need an altar in the church, even though that we're called to preach in the church, which I do and obey God. But I believe that when God has a calling to me, that anywhere where a man or woman full of the Spirit of God stands, whether it's in the street, on the corner, in ShopRite, in Walmart, that becomes an altar for God because you're preaching his word.
Right. Let me ask you this, because what church can people go to or get in touch with you? You have social media. Can you kind of throw that out there as well?
Sure, sure. So we're in Lancaster, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. The church is at 108 Green Street. And the name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ Consumed by His Grace. We have a social media on Facebook. Me and David and Big Buck, we've been, you know, working on that as well. Because I just started, you know, being a pastor, and God has been adding to the church. Of course, the Bible says that the Lord was the one that used to add to the church, and he has kept his promise. Of course, it's a struggle because we're an independent church. I have about 8 youth that the Lord has brought to the church. And, you know, I go pick them up in my car. I drop one set off, then I go back out and pick another set, and then I come back to the church. So that's where we're at now, you know, being, you know, obedience to God. And like I told David, you know, also, you know, we're just waiting on Lord, because I've been praying to the Lord for something like this, an opportunity where we could also about, you know, praying, helping us pray for a church van so that we could pick up the youth, even those that are in the street, you know, and bring them to the church, because that's where God took me from, and that's where my calling is at, in the street.
Wow. You know, I do know some people that are struggling, and they're just coming through, and they've had a very hard life on some things. What would you tell somebody that, you know, they lost their father, they lost some family members, they're starting over again, and they have a job, and they're really trying to progress with their life, but they don't have a car, and they're seeing the life that they used to have? There's some inspiration for somebody I want to give this message to. It could be out there on TikTok as well, or out there in the airwaves. and they're just trying to, they miss the life they used to have when their family members are around. What advice would you give them to where they know that they'll get their own place or they'll get their own car soon, or, you know, they're just feeling defeated? What words or what Bible scriptures can you give them?
Well, one of the verses that I could give them is, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And it's just crazy because, or not crazy, but how you spoke about how people that have lost their parents. And the only thing that I could say is that I lost my dad last year. I lost my only son in 2019.
Oh, so you went through what I did, because I lost a son 2 years ago. He was 34. And that's why I started Miracle Stories, because people that died and went to heaven were sending me their books and telling me how beautiful it is. And what you're saying, that hits home to me.
Yeah, so, you know, the one that gave me the strength through all this is Christ. The Lord says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. And for those that are waiting on a car or waiting on job or trying to get their lives together, the Bible shows me that, you know, the Lord is the one that will lead us and guide us through this path. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And when we put our trust in the Lord and we have the patience to wait on him, then we will see the hand of God in our lives. Sometimes we ask the Lord for something that we want and it's not something that we need. The Bible teaches us that the Lord will provide all our needs, not what we wanted. And there's things that you could be asking the Lord, or someone could be asking the Lord for something that they want. But if the Lord allows them to have it, it could cause them to depart away from him. And the Lord will not give you something that's, even though that you might need it or you might want it, or it feels good that you need it, the Lord knows what we need. He knows everything that we need. He knows our wants. He knows, you know, what we need as far as clothing, food, shelter. He knows all that. And of course, he'll provide the home. He'll provide the shelter. He'll provide whatever you really need. But when it comes to wanting, the Lord is not going to give you something that's going to put you away. So when it comes to having trust in the Lord to give to receive what you're wanting, it's just having faith. Having faith in God that, okay, Lord, you know what? You know that I need this. I'm just going to leave it in your hand. Because when we start to dwell on things, that's where we start to have doubt.
Exactly. You know, my mother, before she passed away, she said, Don, I'm going to tell you a little secret. She said, when you're feeling defeated or you're feeling that you just want more out of your life or whatever, she said, write a letter to God and sign it, date it, and put it in your Bible and open it a year later. Now, there was a time that I was single after my divorce back in the days, and I have a wonderful husband that's amazing, Bert, Captain Bert, right now. And I'll tell you, I lost everything in storage one time. I was living by myself in someone's house. You know, on the wing, I had my own side. And I was like, I wrote this letter to God, and I was working full time. And I was like, I'm done with all of this. You know, and I kept saying, you know, like my pastor says, bless coming in, bless coming out, and start saying those words and speak positive. But anyways, long story short, just from that point of my life, I opened that letter a year later, and I'll tell you, God quadrupled my life. I mean, when I met my husband, we have now a sailing charter business. Everything that I had lost in storage in those days, God gave me quadruple back, you know. And I'll tell you, that's my testimony for people. If you say, because I just had a friend tell me, I just lost everything in storage in another state. I said, don't worry about it. God's going to give it back to you, all of it, you know. And I said, just keep trusting him. And there was a woman that I knew, I have to tell this story, and this may help somebody out there that's single, raising children, trying to survive on two or three jobs. I remember this woman, and we're going to go a little bit over because my other guest is not coming today, so we have a little bit more time with you. Thank God. Praise God. He opened that door. And anyways, I saw her, and she was struggling, and my son was a little bit older when he came back in town, and he said, take me over to so-and-so's house, as I did, and I went, whoa, are you the same woman that was, you know, three jobs? She found a wonderful husband, had a beautiful home with a pool, was buying stuff off of catalogs, and she was in her yoga outfit and just enjoying her peaceful life. And I said, God, I even told her, I said, God will turn this around as at his timing. And, you know, people go, yeah, sure, you know, but it's what your thoughts become reality, but also you keep praying and thanking God for what you have, and try it. Write it down. You write a letter to God. Tell him what your thoughts is, what your heart's aching for, and open it a year later and see the blessings that he said, nope, that's not for you. This is for you.
Right, right. And you know, when we look at things and you say that the Lord has blessed you, what comes to mind is the book of Job. The book of Job, Job was a person that he was, before God, he was a perfect man, a man that served God according to the way that the Lord wanted him to serve him. And what happened was that Satan presented himself before the Lord, and the Lord said, where have you come from? And he says, going through and from the earth. And the Lord said, well, haven't you considered my servant Job? And so what happened was that he said, yeah, but you have protected him. Everything he touches, you have blessed his hands. But if you take away your protection away from him, I guarantee you he's going to curse you. And even his wife, she was like, why don't you just curse your God and die? So when things like this happen, I could give to a person that has lost stuff or that they're going through the struggle where it seems like they're losing everything, and even if they lost a child, remember the story of Job, because Satan was going around seeing who he could devour. And the Lord presented, he said, you know what? I'm going to allow you to touch him, but don't touch his soul. So when these things are happening, it's because there's a conversation going on about you. That's the best way to describe it.
Exactly.
That's the best way to describe that. There's a conversation between God, praise God, hallelujah, between God and Satan. There's a conversation going on between them about you, and he want to attack you. So God is allowing him because he knows what you could give. And it's like Joseph and his brother. Joseph said in the last chapter, he says, "What the devil used it for bad, for evil, God used it for good."
That's so true.
The Lord is always going to glorify himself, rather, if we're going through struggles or we're not going through struggles. He's going to glorify himself because he is our Heavenly Father. And he's not going to allow for you to go more than what you can handle. And if it's happening, it's because he knows what you can give.
Well, you know, I have to tell a little bit of inspiration, too, for mine. I've had a family member, I can't get into it, but I put their picture on my refrigerator, and we weren't talking for a while, and I was just praying every day. I pray every day, Jesus, just, you know, bless this person's heart, soften this heart, and I'll be honest with you, 2 years later, it happened. And, you know, if you can put that person's picture on your refrigerator, or, you know, I even put a sailboat one time when I was single, like, I'm a flight attendant. How am I ever going to afford this? And God has a sense of humor, because I ended up meeting a man that is now my husband, and we have a charter business on kisscharters.com. We redid the whole boat, but we ended up living on the boat. So God says, you want a boat? After 13 years later, it's almost like the same sailboat I had on my refrigerator. It's so funny. I said, that's that you put two things on your refrigerator of what you're asking God for and just pray over it every day. But I'll tell you, it's just a matter of timing. And I know it's really hard for a lot of people out there right now, and their trust in God is sinking. And I see it from some people, and they're turning to the new age vision, and they think that this is going to happen. Oh, universe, give this to me. And, you know, thank you for this. And, but you know, when you really trust God and you ask him, like, you know, it's like people trying these cards and their future and trying to read that. I have friends that tell me that they're into this. I'm like, you guys, I don't want to hear this. I trust God for my future. And I, you know, and that's what it's all about. And what are your thoughts to that? And thank you for the TikTok love, everybody, that they're sending me out here.
Well, my thoughts on that, like, for those that are, like, getting their cards read, you know, it's something, like I said from the beginning, that it's not something that pleases God. Because what you're doing is that you're having doubt, and you're not believing in God. You're not having trust in God. You're not having hope in God. And, of course, Satan is going to disguise himself and give you the things that you're asking for. Why? Because the same way that God has favor over us, Satan has favor over us as well. Because he wanted to destroy it. Okay, so Satan also had his eyes put on us when we were born. So he knows the things that you used to do. He knows the things that you like. He knows the things that the Lord delivered you from. So, of course, he's going to put those things back in your way. And when they start going to these people that read cards, and, of course, he's going to give you things that he already know about you. It's going to seem like he's reading your future, or he knows your past. And you're going to be like, wait a minute, but how does this person know my past? Is because Satan also had his eyes on you since you was born.
Wow,
because
that's powerful.
Because, Yeah, because we were created in God's image. And when Satan sees us, he has this anger. That's why I said that he has this anger against us. He has, like, this rage against us because we were created in the image of God. And all we have to do is wait and have hope and say, Lord, you know what? I'm putting this in your hands. You know why? Because Christ is coming back.
Exactly.
Listen. People don't want to believe it, but he's coming back.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have friends that we bat heads. We're still good friends. She's probably watching, and she'll say, the aliens are going to take us, or, you know, the aliens are coming, and there's more alien things out there. And, you know, and, of course, what does Revelation say?
Okay, the book of Revelation speaks about that there's going to be a rapture. And a lot of people don't believe in that. But when the word rapture is not in the Bible. But when it speaks about being called up, like he did with John, okay, because John is the one that the vision was revealed to, okay, it speaks about that in the last days, no one will be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast.
And it's so happening right now in Whole Foods. I've been seeing that. Well, and now in Florida. You know, people are getting the chips in their hands so they can, oh, it's so fun. Look at this. I don't have to carry a wallet.
Right. So that's, and then, of course, look at this. They're getting rid of the paper dollar. It lost value, okay? They are now getting rid of credit cards because of fraud, and now they came up with a digital currency.
Right.
Okay? Because now they're going to be able to control what you could buy and what you can sell. Of course, they're making it seem like it's something new technology, it's something cool, exciting. But that's the same way that John the Baptist made the way for the Lord. Is how these false teachers and false prophets is making the way for the Antichrist. Because mm-hmm. everything that the Bible has spoken about has been completed. And people saying, yeah, but they've been saying that Christ is coming back and we still haven't seen them. Okay, but I can tell you that what didn't happen 10 years ago has happened now, just like the Euphrates River.
I was just going to say that. That just gave me shivers. Yeah, that's dried up.
Yeah, the Euphrates is dried up, okay? And so if the Bible said it, that it was going to happen, then what are we waiting for? So the thing about it is that people don't want to believe. They want to be like Thomas. See, Thomas was a disciple that didn't believe because he wanted to see the holes in the hands of the nails in the hands of Christ. But when the Lord went to Thomas that he actually saw him the second time, Thomas didn't say, let me see the holes in your hand. He said, my Lord, my God. And the Lord went to him and said, Thomas, you believe because you see me. But bless those that don't see me and believe. He was already talking about us because we don't see the Lord, but we feel his presence. The same way that you feel the wind blow is the same way we feel the Spirit of God. So my thing is, what is it about this Jesus that people don't want you to know? If he's just a man, if he never existed, then why are people fighting against somebody that never existed? Why is it that Christianity is the only belief? Because it's a belief, it's a relationship between you and Christ. It's not a religion, okay? Because true religion, the Bible says in the book of James chapter 1, verse 25 or 27, it says true religion is this, to go to the widows and the orphans to visit them, but to go through the world unspotted. So when it comes to this Jesus, why is it that people, or I would say Satan and his demons, don't want you to know? If he was just a man, if he's not the Son of God, if he didn't exist, why is it that you can speak about Muhammad, about Guadalupe, about Hare Krishna, about Allah, okay, and everything is fine, okay? But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only true living God, the only true Savior, because it's only through him that you're going to be saved, what is it about this Jesus that people or Satan doesn't want you to know, okay? People that are Christians on the other side of the world are being cut in half. They're being tortured. They're being burnt alive. Okay, so if it wasn't that Christianity was real, then why is it that they're lifting up this war against Christian if Christ never existed? You know what it is, Dawn?
Mm-hmm.
That the Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when I mean free, it's not a physical prison. It's a spiritual prison that people need to be delivered, because David even realized that when he said in the book of Psalms, he said, take my soul out of prison so that I could praise your name, okay? And that's what's going on now, that people are in the spiritual prison. Even though that they're physically free, they're in a spiritual prison. You have people that are physically in prison, but they're spiritually free.
That's true. Yeah, you're on point with this, and you're preaching amazingly. And I'll tell you, we're still going to go with you for the whole hour here, and there was a reason that somebody canceled, so you could really get the word out. I do have a question, too. I know that I was reading, and this has been said, that said there'll be two witnesses that will appear. And I was trying to explain that to a couple of my friends. Can you explain that to people, what they're talking about, before God comes back?
Well, those are the two witnesses that will be speaking to the Jewish people, okay? Because remember, when the Lord comes back, okay, number one, there's going to be a tribulation, a seven-year tribulation. The Antichrist is going to present this, but by that time, the church is not going to be here. And when I mean church, I don't mean the building. I mean the people that believe in Christ, because we are the church, okay? So there's going to be a tribulation, and then the Lord, those two witnesses will come back to deal and speak to those Jewish people that didn't believe, okay?
And they're going to give some kind of prophetic warnings and stuff, and if anybody tries to hurt them, they will be diminished.
They will kill them?
Right.
Yeah, the Bible says that they will be killed, and they will see them in the street, but the Lord would tell them to rise up, and they will see them rise up. Okay, some people believe that it's Moses. Some people believe that it's Elijah. Some people believe that it is Enoch, okay, because Enoch was one that left without seeing death, and
right.
Elijah as well. But because the Bible says do not go more than what is written, then I can't really go and say something that is not written there, because nobody really knows the two witnesses.
Right. Okay. Well, that's an important, because, you know, I was trying to explain that, but you explained it better, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate you for doing that. What about a question of the rapture? People say, oh, my God, what about my pets? Are they going to go with us, and are they going to be stranded and no food? And, you know, I mean, this is what somebody told me the other day. I'm like, you know, that's a good, I will ask you that. What do you think your thoughts are? And I know God loves animals, because in these stories I'm reading from people that died and went to heaven, there are animals, and your animals are there. And what is your thought on that, for people to ease their minds and not be so anxiety over that?
On that, I really don't have a lot of information. All I know is that animals don't have souls. They have spirit, but they don't have souls.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And the loving,
the Bible really doesn't speak about animals as far as being saved.
I guess I believe that God's going to, you know, take care of them, and He knows that you love them, and I, you know.
I mean, that's why I said that if the Bible tells me do not go more than what is written, in other words, don't try to take out five legs on a cat when it has four.
Right, right, exactly. Now, I have another question to ask you. I've had a lot of miracles in my life happen. And there was a time, my husband was my fiancé at the time, and we were just dating. He was not my fiancé at the time. I was in a little place in Hollywood, Florida, and we just had big prayer over our production company. We had Joe Marie Payton from Family Matters there. We had a pastor come in and pray over everyone. So I went home to my little apartment at the time, and I kept thanking God for a better place in the future. And anyway, so my husband now was with me, and we had locked the door because we changed the locks because of the last tenant. And so we're outside about 1 o'clock in the morning walking the dogs, and he goes, "Hey, where's the key?" And I went, "What key? The key? I locked it inside by accident." Now, this place was like Fort Knox. You could not get in this little studio. And long story short, this guy walks by with a tow truck shirt on and long hair. Now, I'm a person that says, "How'd you do that? What'd you do?" Whatever. You know, I try to find out what happened because I'm a reporter and a talk show host. Anyway, so he goes, "Hey, guys, how you doing?" We're like, "We're locked out of our little studio, and there's no way we can get in." And so he looked at me, and we tried. And that door was locked. And he said, "Where is it?" And we followed him like puppies, and we went right to the door. He puts his hand on the door, opens it up, and walks away. And we tried to find him, and because we didn't have any money to open up or get a locksmith or anything or break the door down at that time. And I'm wondering, you know, I said, maybe my angel is a tow truck driver, or what? Have you had anything spiritual like that happen to you?
Yes. I could testify of the time when I was in the county. I remember you know, going around preaching the word to a lot of people. And I remember going to church one day, and they was taking us, the guards was taking us to church, and I was the last one in line. And there was this security guard that I never saw there, and I was there for 6 months. They wanted to give me 15 years to life, but the Lord allowed me to do 6 months, and I was able to come out by the grace of God. And that security guard was with me. So when I was the last one, we was walking downstairs. He goes, "Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm glad of what you're doing." So I looked at him like, "Wait a minute, it's a pleasure to meet me, and you're glad. I don't even know you." So I'm walking downstairs. We was on the third floor. The church was on the second floor of the county. We go down to the second floor, and the last person always has to hold the door for the guard to come in. So I'm standing there for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and now, mind you, I'm waiting for him to come in so that I could go into the church. And when I end up looking out, the guard was never there.
Wow.
When I walked into the church, I felt the presence of God so powerful. I started crying, and I said, "Lord, that was you telling me that it was a pleasure to meet me, and that you was proud of what I was doing, because I was going around preaching the word of God." And he was telling me it was a pleasure to meet me, but I didn't know, because at that point I still was growing, I still was new in the gospel. But when that experience happened to me, I had told my wife, and it was just an experience out of this world. It's just like when I was in there, that the Lord put it in my heart to preach a message on Mother's Day. And I preached the message, and a brother came up to me, because there was a person that I preached to that converted over to Christ, and he gave me four people. One of them was named Moses, the other one was named Daniel, and the other one was named Ivan. Now, what a coincidence on the name. So he said, "Look, it's Mother's Day. Let's give a service, but let's feed everybody." Now, mind you, we had 6 cups of the cup of noodle soup with a loaf of bread that brought 30 slices. And I told everybody, I said, "Look, we're going to give a service, and then we're going to give everybody some food." Mm-hmm. So, of course, God said he would make us fishermen of men. What way to get to a man but through his stomach, especially when you go into the county and you don't have no money and they're giving you free food.
Right.
So I brought the message, and we prayed over the food. So mind you, Ivan is giving me the bread with the noodles on top of it, and I'm going around giving a slice of bread with the noodles because that's all we had to eat. Mind you, we prayed over it, and I said, "Lord, the same way that you fed the 5,000 people with the 2 fishes and a 5 loaf of bread, you could do it here." And I'm not going to say that the food just looked like a big pile, but I know that the Lord multiplied, because there's 65 men in this cell, okay? And we went around, and we only had 30 slices of bread. And we went around, and everybody got a slice of bread that Ivan stood shocked, and he said, "Brother Frank, look what happened." He said, "We had 30 slices of bread, we fed the 65 guys that are here, and we still have food for ourselves."
Wow.
Those are the things that God does when you have faith in him. Because, see, people think that they really know God, but some people really don't know God. Because, remember, you have Pharisees also back in the days, and you got them now. You got false prophets. You got false teachers. The Bible says it. Beware that you don't be deceived, because many would be coming in my name. They'd be false Christ, okay? And you're going to have false prophets, false teachers that are going to be preaching more about prosperity and not about salvation. Okay, because that's what Christ came. He came to save the lost. And when you got people that's telling you that you need to give up money so that you can be saved, or that God, if you give this certain amount of money and God is going to bless you with a house, Christ never said that in his word. Mm-hmm. He said, "Preach, repent, that the kingdom of God is at hand."
Yeah, you know, and God's changing a lot with my shows. I started out back in Hollywood, California, and I buried myself in Hollywood. I used to work for the late James Brown, and I wrote for his Truth Magazine, and the doors opened from this man and the people that had helped my career. And I had a lot of celebrity interviews. And then I started Hollywood Connections, and then the Dawn Reese Show, and all of a sudden God's like, "No, I want you to start saving souls. I want you to start inspiring people of who I am." And, you know, maybe maybe, you know, with my son passing, where the miracle stories are out there. And, you know, I met a lady in our neighborhood just real quick, a quick story. She was in her golf cart. We're in a golf cart community. You can tell I'm over 55. And I was picking my son's ashes up from the post office after 2 weeks, and they lost it. And they called me that we found it. And my dog, I was walking my dog. All of a sudden, Sandy snapped her leash, and a little Jack Russell chasing a cat. And this lady's in a golf cart in a robe, and she looks at me, and she goes, my husband will hold your other dog. I came back, and I said, hi, how are you? She goes, not doing so good. She goes, how are you? I said, well, I'm going to go pick up my son's ashes, and I'm probably going to go to the casino and play Keno, because I like my 10-cent Keno once in a while. I know God talks about gambling, but that's my little, I know where I end. But anyway, she looked at me, she started to cry, and she said, when did your son pass away? I said, 2 years ago. I mean, I'm sorry, it was like 2 weeks ago. It's been 2 years. And she looked at me and she was crying. She goes, one of my best friends passed away. And this is the first time I've been out of my house in 6 months. She goes, I'm healed from what you're telling me. And she just started to cry. She goes, thank you. I'm not going to live my life in depression and hide in my bedroom. And I'll tell you, people are going through that. And you just have to say, God's got this back. And I've had dreams of my son showing up. And he's like, hey, mom, I came to give you a hug. And it's so spiritual. I even had my parents show up in my dream. And I started to cry. I said, Nicholas. And my mom goes, we came to tell you he's okay. But I want to tell you one more thing for anybody that's had, I mean, we've had six people in our family in 2 years pass away in our immediate family. And my brother that was 60 passed away of a heart attack. And I had a dream of him as something. He left me, he said, I'm taking you to the bank. And I didn't know he left me a small inheritance at the time. And my brother, and the story for that is amazing. And it was in my dream. The next day, I get a call from my sister-in-law and she said, Scott left you something. And I just broke in tears like he had just told me that in a dream. But last week, I was taking a nap. I just have to tell everybody because it's so beautiful. My brother shows up in my dream and he's smiling. And I think I was at his house because the way I described it to his wife, she's like, that's my house. And he was wearing a crown. He was full of golden light and white light and wearing white. And he came to give, he goes, I just want to give you a hug. The hug he gave me in my dream, I felt like the whole world of love was in his hug. It was so beautiful. I woke up in happy tears saying, thank you, Scott. Now, get this. My sister-in-law told me she had the same dream that he had a crown on. He was in golden and white light. I said, wow, what are the odds to that one? So he was making his rounds. You know, and that's such a beautiful dream. And you know, we're not here forever, and you don't know when God's going to call you home, and you can't take any of this stuff with you. Nothing. And people are asking me, someone's asking me right now, what is heaven like if the rapture happens? Where are we going to live? I don't know that question. You know, I mean, I'm sure we have homes up there. As he said, we have many mansions up here.
Exactly. Christ himself said it. He said, I will go prepare a place for you so that where I am at, you could be. And he said, many mansions I have. Now, for those that are not going to make it, they will feel the wrath of God, you know, that's going to come upon this earth for mm-hmm. the denying of Christ. But for those that are in Christ, because the Bible says that those that die first in Christ will be resurrected first, and those that remain alive will be called up to the heaven. Now, something that you said earlier about aliens, somebody speaking about aliens, the reason why they're coming up with these aliens now saying that they exist is because they have to come up with a plan, or Satan have to come up with a plan to deceive people so that when the rapture happens, they have an excuse to tell people that aliens came and took them. Okay, right. That's the only way. So he's deceiving people because, as you notice, that they're trying to find other places to go live at, like in Mars and other places and stuff like that. And, you know, that they've been up to space. Remember, there's three heavens. And the third heaven is where the Lord is at. Okay, the first heaven is where the enemy and the angels and the demons are fighting and stuff like that. If you ever notice, you could see how some of these politics or some of these politicians, they speak about breaking the glass wall.
Mm-hmm.
So they're speaking about the firmament that the Lord has around the world. Okay, because the Lord said, He says, I will put a firmament and separated the waters. So that's why they keep, if you ever notice on Hillary Clinton, when she's saying, oh yeah, we're going to break that glass, they're trying to break a affirming that they would never be able to break, because he said that he separated the waters and they're above the firmament and the waters below. But, Satan is deceiving so many people with this alien stuff, deceiving them with the chip to take it. And it's because he knows that his time is running, that his time is short.
Right.
Because
I have to tell you, my pastor, Pastor Joe, when we go to Beaming Hope over there, he said, when you're getting so much things coming at you, he said, you take the Bible and you look at the devil and you say, I'm going to tell you about your future and where you're going. I know it's 8:56. Yeah. We have only like a few minutes left, and I want 3 minutes left. My engineer, Matt, is telling me 4 minutes left. is there any, are you writing a book about your life?
No, but I've been asked a while back to write a book. It's just that I haven't really had the time. Growing up, I really didn't get no education. The only knowledge that I have now is the Bible.
I've got somebody I'm going to send you. He's written like 12 books. I met him at the International Christian Film Festival. It's once a year, and it's amazing, because I have another man named Marcos that I met, and he's actually wrote a book, and he's trying to sell it into a movie. And he kind of has the same life that you have, that you had. He's preaching to a lot of people as well. I'm going to send you that too. So I need Big Bucks 357. I want to thank you for the love on TikTok. Thank you. We have 2 minutes left. But I've got some people that he just said, what you need to do is get on Word and start writing your story. Just write it. His name is GW. So I want to hook you up with him, and he can inspire you to do that and get that done. And we have 2 minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to pray for anybody, or anything on your heart that God would like you to put on the airwaves tonight?
Yeah. I just would like to pray, to God, that for those that has listened to this message, and listen to us speaking here, that they're able to receive a blessing from part of God, a spiritual blessing, first and foremost. But first and foremost, also, that if a person haven't accepted Christ, that today's the day of salvation, like the Word of God says, and that they're able to accept Christ. You don't have to go to a church. You can go into your room and get on your knees and say, Lord, if you're real, come into my heart, change my ways, change my life, and he will do it. Accept him, confess it with your mouth, believe in your heart, and it shall be done. But I could do a prayer for those that are lost, and that the Lord touches them right now, and that he breaks the chains of those that are bondage. Rebuke every spirit of suicidal, every spirit that is...
Yeah, we bind that.
And we bind it in the name of Jesus. And every lie that Satan has put in people's minds, we rebuke it and cast it out in the name of Jesus. And I just pray that are able to receive Christ.
And that God makes you the head, not the tail. And then people start saying, what's happening in their life? Why are they being blessed? Because you're following God. And I got the yearly Bible, and of course I've slacked a little bit, and I have to catch up. But there's one thing that my pastor said, read that, get a daily Bible off of Amazon. It's a yearly daily Bible, and start reading every day, because what my mother always said, once you read the whole Bible, she said there's more blessings in that for you as well. And the Word, and start praying before you walk out of that house, and ask God to protect you and your family. Well, I'm Dawn Reese. It's been a pleasure. Tell everybody your name and your website one more time. We got 7-8 seconds left.
My name is Frank Negron, and the website on Facebook is The Church of Jesus Christ Consumed by His Grace.
Amen. It's been a pleasure to have you on. I'm glad we were on for a full hour, because there's so much to talk about. God bless you. Thank you, Big Butts 357 on TikTok, for introducing. If you have a miracle story and you'd like to be on the air, also get in touch with me, 727-871-7788. Remember, sunkisscharters.com sponsored this show. We have a 37-foot Endeavor. We have a pontoon boat that's 28-foot. It's $125 an hour tour minimum with that. Check us out on the website. We'll see you on the intercoastal and fishing and snorkeling and sailing. God bless you, everybody. Good night. Bye.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.